Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It is a freaky Friday. That is the best
That's
way to put
right.
it.
Ain't that the truth?
Nothing working how it should today. Live today at the Dunkin' at 14835 Lebanon Road. Come by and see us. Joe's got his Dunkin' hat on.
I do.
The coffee guy. What's a
Cuppy.
Cuppy. Okay, he's here.
Coffee guy. Cuppy.
Okay,
I don't know. We got pictures with Cuppy.
Okay, I don't know. I'm sorry.
We tweeted a picture out with Cuppy.
All right, we did.
At oh, he's looking go. At us. Turn around. He's looking at us.
At Chase on Game at 102.5 The Game. So come by and see us. I got my my iced coffee here. Feeling good now. Let's say hello to Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver. He's on the line with us. Chris, it's a freaky Friday. That's the best way to put it. How are you?
And I'm good, man. Why don't you invite me to take a picture with Mr. Cuppy, whatever his name is?
Look, I'm lucky to be here right now. Right. Like I've been on the struggle bus this morning. Just
Mr. Cuppy. I mean, what?
Yeah, Mr. Cuppy. Yeah, just giant cup of Dunkin' coffee. Titans last night.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Chris. Like, I'm disappointed they lost, but like, I don't feel bad because I saw enough good that if they don't. If they do the right things in the offseason and they help this offensive line and the receiving core and the defense needs some work too, Will Levis is going to be fine. Like, I think they have found their guy, and I'm willing to say that after two games.
I agree with you 100% because I was thinking about it this morning, and I was at the YMCA lift, and everybody kept talking about it. They were sad that the Titans lost, but you have a good feeling because now you found your quarterback. I mean, let me tell you something. I watched Levis last night. Everybody keeps talking about that he's taking command of the offense and taking command of what he's doing. He just brings a different energy, a different attitude. Just watching him warm up and, you know, watching pictures when he's walking to, you know, the stadium yesterday, he just got a something about himself. It kind of reminds me, and I'm not comparing him, you know, I think it was in 2019 when Ryan Tannehill came in and he was winning those games for the Tennessee Titans. You just knew that he was going to do something special, and that's exactly what we see with this kid.
So you would laugh if you'd been watching the game with me last night. Every time they would snap the ball, yeah, with Cuppy, yeah, Levis would have the ball, and I would count like to two, and I go, and I would yell out, "Go!" Like throw the ball because that offensive line. We know what the offensive line is.
Right.
I do feel like he might hang on to the ball a tick too long. What do you think?
Yeah, he does, but here's what I love about him, Chase, is he's willing to throw the ball when somebody's in his face and take a hit. I mean, a lot of quarterbacks won't do that. They'll shy away from that. They'll get the ball that quick and kind of flinch. He stands in the pocket strong to say, you know what, I understand you're bringing a blitz. I understand you're bringing the pressure. But he takes a hit and he still makes a throw. I mean, look at the throw that he made when he threw it across his body. I think it was to Chig. He gets hit in his mustache, the Jeff Fisher mustache, and still makes the play. I mean, it just shows you. It just shows you that he's not just a quarterback. He's a tough quarterback.
No, he is. Let me ask you this. All right, so I agree with you 100%. You lose last night, but you feel good because you got this quarterback who hates to lose. You love it. Chris, Chase and I are talking about the third and four call with the read option to Spears that was stuffed at midfield.
Yeah,
I tweeted last night, it's one of the worst calls I've ever seen. People, oh, that's not the worst call. And that time, that situation, that was an awful call. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, it is. And I'm respectful to the offensive coordinator, Tim Kelly, but that was a bad call. I mean, I would make sure I have Henry in the game, or I would throw something quick to my wide receivers. Because if you look at what the Pittsburgh Steelers were doing, they were going man-to-man across the board. And what I would do is I would get the ball to Hopkins. And also, we forgot about a guy that we haven't been talking about the whole season. It's Kyle Phillips. He's been making great catches on third down. So if you have a guy on him in the slot and he has runs a little choice route or something to where he gets open, I'm throwing it to one of those guys as opposed to throwing it to Spears.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, it's like if you're a receiver and then you're lined up against one of the top, you know, there's a safety.
Throw me the dang on ball.
You know, it's going to take your head off, and he goes out for a few plays. You're like, all right, I can do this. You kind of feel better. So when Derrick Henry's out of the game on those plays, I think the defense's like, all right, we got this now. Henry's not in there. We don't have much to worry about. I just think he's got to be in there as much as he can.
Yeah, but I think, too, I mean, I agree with you 100%, Big Joe. Is the only thing is if you look at yesterday in the game, there was a lot of third and longs. And when it's a lot of third and longs, I mean, there's only – so much what Derrick Henry can do. We know he's going to run between the tackles, run inside zone and outside zone, all those things, but you can't split him out as a back when it's third and 15. You got to make sure you put it in the quarterback's hands or get a speedy, you know, guy like Tarjay Spears so that he can run some routes on the outside or something like that to get him the ball. But it limits Derrick Henry when it's third and long, and I think that's what the problem is.
Your thoughts on that final drive, Chris, when he took him down the field with a patchwork offensive line, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is getting triple teamed, still drove them down the field. I know penalties helped. I get all that.
Right, but what
did you take away from Will Levis on that final drive?
I mean, he's not afraid to go down there and make some plays. And you just look at the situation. Watch. I watch the innuendos. I watch the stuff that people don't watch. Watch his body language when he walks into the huddle. Watch his body language when he's surveying the field. He understands that this stage is not bigger than me. He has an attitude of, you know what, I understand we got a minute and a half to score a touchdown, but I expect to make plays. I expect to get my offense in the right position. And he took total command. I know that it's the last play he throws an interception, but at the end of the day, it makes you feel positive because you have a guy that's not afraid, but he takes command of the offense. I think that's a special, special thing.
Chris Sanders is with us, forever Titans wide receiver. And here's the other thing, too. Like, I don't fault a guy for throwing a pick if he's going for the end zone. I mean, you know, it's the end of the game. You don't have timeouts. The clock's ticking down. And, you know, anybody that's, like, an elite quarterback would have won the game. Like, come on, man. Like, sometimes yeah. it works out and yeah, sometimes true. It doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of times it doesn't. But the thing about it is – he methodically went down the field. He wasn't afraid. And I agree with you. When you're going to the end zone, you throw an interception, you're still trying to make a play. But what you take away from the whole situation, you feel confident about what he does because, you know, you watch his body demeanor. You watch what he does. You watch when he throws a pass. He's getting excited. And he doesn't just energize, you know, the offense. He energizes the defense. Watch when he walks to the sidelines, you know, how the respect of his coaches, the respect of his teammates, because you know he's going to do something special. I know he came up short by throwing the interception, but those interceptions are going to turn to touchdown because he's that type of guy.
All right, so, you know, I obviously want to be respectful to Treylon Burks because it was a scary situation last night. But Jaron did tweet out that he walked out of the training room and walked to the bus, said hi to everybody. So he was moving around and appears to be okay.
Right.
He landed awkwardly. But at the end of the day, like, I look at Treylon Burks and I'm still concerned. He's made some key drops. Yeah. You need a guy like that to make a play at the end of the game. And again, he laid out for it, landed awkwardly. So I will certainly give him that. But when you watch Treylon Burks, what do you see and what can change with him?
Yeah. You know, first of all, I'm glad he's okay. I mean, if you look at that play, that was a dangerous play, and I'm glad that he's okay. But the one thing that we're looking at with Treylon Burks, and I say this in a respectful way, is we always talk about a guy who has great potential. That's potential is a bad word. Potential basically is hidden ability. And right now what we're seeing with Treylon Burks is hidden ability. He has great hands, kind of. He's a big body. He can make some plays downfield. But all we keep seeing is hidden ability. I want to see him make the play when it's fourth and five or fourth and four. And when they throw the ball up, you jump up and you go and get it. I want to go back to the days in Arkansas when he played for the Arkansas Razorbacks, when he would catch a bubble, take it the distance. They would throw the ball downfield, and he'll make plays against one-on-one coverage. That's the guy that I want to see. But what we've seen in the last couple of years is a lot of a hidden ability potential. I want to see the guy be a dominant threat that he's capable of being.
But do you think, Chris, that maybe we're at the point – because, look, he's never going to be able to get out from under the shadow of A.J. Brown. Whether that's fair or that isn't fair, it's true. Like, he's not going to be able to get out from under that shadow.
Nah.
So could it be beneficial to both Treylon and the Titans if they were to – maybe try and trade him and move on after this season just to let both sides get a fresh start?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, Chase. I mean, sometimes you need to change environments to change your mindset to get to where you need to be. Because right now when he's with the Tennessee Titans, all he keeps seeing is the same thing repeated. He goes in there, he'll make a play here and there, but then all of a sudden he gets hurt. So sometimes it's just good to get a fresh start. Let me give you a perfect example. You just brought up A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown has some good games. He has some bad games. And with here, he was consistently hurt. Now he goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. He's tearing the whole league up because he's got a different quarterback, a different environment, a different offense that's suitable for him. I think that at the end of the season, I think Mike Vrabel, Rand Carthon, the wide receiver coach, Rob Moore, they need to sit down and say, okay, you know what? maybe it's time to cut ways with this guy. Not in a bad way, understand it's a business, but maybe he needs a fresh start to make him the player that he needs and get a player in here that can make some plays.
Chris, we have a question from the audience. Cuppy would like to know how much did the Titans defense miss Kevin Byard last night? Because I think they did.
No, not at all. And I'm going to tell you why. The thing about it is,
not at all.
If you look at last – no, okay, look at last week when they played. They had 5 sacks last week. 5 sacks. So now you really don't have to cover long. Those guys can make plays in the secondary. How many sacks did they have this game? 0. There was a little bit of pressure on Pickett, a little bit. But when you put pressure on the quarterback, he's going to make those mistakes, and that secondary doesn't have to cover long. If you look at last week when they went against the Atlanta Falcons, yes, they made some plays later on in the game, but there was so much pressure on Ridder that he couldn't step up and look at where his first or second read was, so it's easy for the guys to cover. Yes, we missed Byer. Yes, he's an explosive player. Yes, he's a pillar of that team, but it all starts up front, because if they don't put pressure on the quarterback, me or you couldn't play safety or cornerback.
Okay, I think that's a fair point, Cuppy. but I still think they missed him. Cuppy might have covered a little better last night, too. You never know.
Cuppy to
Chris,
cover.
Cuppy. Playoff start, who you got tonight?
No, actually, we're off. We play Innsworth next week.
Okay, that's right.
I'm going to watch TV. I'm watching Judge Judy all night. I'm eating pizza. I'm watching every court show in America and relax and do nothing. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, can Cuppy come over? Because last night he's with Chase, and that he needs.
Hey, if Cuppy shows up at my door,
call the cops.
I'm calling the SWAT team.
Chris, have a great weekend. Thank you.
Hey, love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Bye-bye.
You too. Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. Titans fall to the Steelers 2016.
Love him, but I love the whole segment. The Byard thing.
I disagree with him on that.
Yeah.
We'll discuss that.
Yeah.
Coming up next. Because, look, the defense, it's time for the defense to step up and get theirs.
That secondary's slower than you and I.
I know. They're not
We're still
good.
In the air?
615-737-1025. That's our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're at 14835 Lebanon Road today. That is the Duncan. The grand opening, come by and see us, get a picture with Cuppy, get some coffee and donuts as well. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.